chapter 14, I should like to begin reading from verse 25. John chapter 14, verse 25. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. I feel a bit like a fellow who goes into a good restaurant and they lay before you, you've probably had this experience, all of us I'm sure have, they lay before you a menu of lovely things to eat. As the Irishman said, each one is as good as the other and a whole lot better. And you have a difficulty of choosing from all those items the things that you can eat at one time. And I feel that same problem regarding this discourse of our Lord Jesus Christ, the upper room discourse, in which, as we have noticed already, he was preparing them for what lay before them during the time when he would be absent from them. Absent physically, that is, during the time when they would not again be able to see his face. And we have noticed that in this discourse, he speaks again and again of the one who was coming to take his place, the other comforter, the other helper. And we've been speaking, some of us, about this matter of the Holy Spirit, probably one of the most neglected doctrines amongst the people of God is the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, his person, and his activity. Now, there are a couple reasons why this doctrine is neglected. One of them is, as we are aware, the overemphasis, the unscriptural place, which is being given by many people to the Holy Spirit himself. That is to say, we have in many places, in many fellowships, shall we say, today, people who are putting the Holy Spirit in the foreground. And they are putting him in the foreground to such an extent that the Lord Jesus Christ is being put in the background. He's there, but he's not as prominent as he should be. And because of that fact, there are a lot of people who are afraid of emphasizing the person and the work of the Holy Spirit during this age. Now, the reaction to the unscriptural emphasis on the working of the Holy Spirit should not be that we push that doctrine off the board and be afraid to speak of it as the Scripture speaks of the Holy Spirit. The right reaction to the false emphasis is to speak of the Holy Spirit as the Scriptures speak of him. And that is one of the things that I have had in mind during these talks that we are having together about the person of the Holy Spirit, to speak of him as the Lord Jesus Christ spoke of him in this discourse. But there's so very much in these chapters, chapter 14, 15, and 16, that I find myself embarrassed as to what item on the menu I'm to choose. I had thought at one time of speaking something on the chapter 15, where we have that beautiful figure of the vine and the branches and the fruit, which the vine himself bears through the individual branches. It's a lovely subject. Really, it's part of the working of the Holy Spirit. We touched on it a little bit yesterday when we were speaking of the fruit of the Spirit. For the fruit which the Lord Jesus Christ bears through the branches of the vine of which he is the stock, and in fact he includes all the branches, is the same activity as the working of the Holy Spirit who bears through his people as they submit to his working, manifests his own character in all those lovely virtues that are outlined for us in chapter 5 of Galatians, a chapter which would repay continual and repeated study. But I think that what we'll try to do this afternoon is to choose out a few things of what the Lord Jesus has said concerning the activity of the Holy Spirit among his people during this age. And just think of those briefly. Some of them we will have to pass over rather quickly, perhaps, but we'll do the best we can in the time at our disposal. Now, we've noticed already, as we have thought of the coming of the Holy Spirit as he came at the day of Pentecost, that in that coming the Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled his promise to his disciples, "I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you." And we've noticed already that we believers in the Lord Jesus Christ have a sort of an anomalous situation in that the Lord in one sense is absent from us, and we look forward, as we have been hearing during this conference again and again, to that time when he shall appear and we shall see him face to face and be with him forever. And yet at the same time, we have his promise, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So he is absent, but he's present. And again, we've noticed, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst." He's with us always. He can manifest that presence in a corporate way when we're gathered in assembly, gathering as we are during these days. But even though we may go our ways individually, we don't go alone. He's with us. He's not only with us, he's in us. We've noticed that already. We must pass on. We've noticed that the Holy Spirit, as he comes into our hearts, brings in with him that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is that eternal life. And so we find the Scriptures speaking to us of the Christ who is our life. And he's our life because dwelling in us is the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of life eternal. We've noticed already that he is the one who gives us sight. We see things that the world does not see. The Lord Jesus said to his disciples, "The time is coming when the world will not see me anymore." But very interestingly, in the present tense again, he says, "You see me." They could see him then with their physical eyes. That sight was going to be taken from them. But the sight of the Lord Jesus, the ability to see him, would still continue in the working of the Holy Spirit dwelling in their hearts. So the writer of Hebrews can say, "We see Jesus." Paul, in writing to the Ephesians, asks that the eyes of their hearts may be opened. And we can say with the blind man, "One thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see." How do we see? Spirit of God gives us sight. We see with the eyes of our hearts. We've already noticed, too, that the indwelling of that Spirit of God has made us to be one with our Lord Jesus Christ, so that there is one sense in which each one of us is a distinct personality, and there is another sense in which God looks at the head and he looks at every member of the body and he calls it by one name, Christ. And that is a tremendous truth, one that should fill our hearts with wonder. To think of the place where God, from which God has taken us. Look back in our memories, which we've just been hearing. Think what we were. And we can think what we were, thank God, as we've been hearing, with a clear conscience, cleansed by the blood of Christ. But we remember. And we think of this high, high place to which God has brought us. Have you ever stopped to think of what that means? Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, having been brought into such a place of oneness with Him that the inheritance of the Lord Jesus Christ is our inheritance. Tremendous. Well, what I want to think of today is this. Begin with this anyway. When He has come, He shall teach you all things. Now, there's a sense in which our Lord Jesus Christ, when He said this, was referring first to His disciples. Later on, you'll notice, in chapter 16, He speaks of how the Spirit of God, when He has come, He's going to lead them into all truth. He is going to reveal to them things to come. And, of course, we find the first fulfillment of this in what we have in the New Testament. For after our Lord Jesus Christ had gone back to the glory, the Spirit of God taught the disciples. He brought to their remembrance the things that the Lord Jesus had spoken. And what we have, for instance, in this Gospel of John, is the Spirit of God bringing back to John the things that he'd heard and making real to him what those things meant. And he put them down. Our brother has said, thank God for the Psalms. Well, thank God for the Gospel of John. And thank God for all the Gospels. And thank God for the epistles of Paul. We found how the Holy Spirit worked, and He brought these apostles of Christ into the knowledge of the truth and gave them the power, inspired them to set down in the record these things. And so now we can read and we can hear what the Lord Jesus Christ said, and we're given understanding of these things. He does not reveal to us the things that are to come except through His Word. He is not revealing fresh things apart from the Word of God today, and this is one of the errors that we find sometimes in Christendom. People who rise up and say that they are prophets, and they are saying things that we do not find confirmed by the Word of God. I know of a case in point like this, where one person said of another, that man is a prophet, and if you don't believe what he says, God will punish you. And that is absolute foolishness. No such thing is happening today. But I want to speak of this teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, we've been exhorted more than once during this conference, and it is a valid and a most important exhortation, to apply ourselves diligently to the study of the Word of God. You may have heard John Stott of England. If you didn't hear him personally, you may have heard him over WMBI when the tape was played. When he spoke at Urbana, this conference before last, and one thing he said that I remember, and I'd like to repeat, I can't remember his exact words. Remember, if you've heard him speak, he is a very beautiful speaker of English. And he said, among other things, as he was exhorting the young people at that Urbana conference to apply themselves to the study of the Word of God, he said something like this: there is no substitute for the definite, dogged, determined study of the Word of God. Get that. Definite. Dogged. Sticking to it, determined study of the Word of God. Now, the normal way in which the Spirit of God teaches the believer today is through this Word which He has inspired. And the only way that He can teach a believer through this Word is for that believer to apply himself to the study of that Word. But the secret of the study of the Word of God is to study it under the immediate active tutelage of the Spirit of God, the study of the Word of God, to apply ourselves to it under the active, present tutelage of the Word, of the Spirit of God. He is the one who inspired this Word. He is the one who knows it through and through. And He is the one who can give us understanding of it. Now, commentaries are good. They're helpful. But don't go getting, we shouldn't go getting all our truth from second hand from other people. I have a number of commentaries in my library at home, and I frequently refer to them. And some of them I find very helpful indeed. And some of them I find, like W.H. Griffith Thomas said years ago, he said, some commentators are very commentators indeed. And some of them are very good. But they're not all infallible. You know, some time ago, I was down in New Jersey, and they spoke to me about a certain man there. And he said, you know, he has a thorough knowledge of the Bible. He's read J.M.D. from cover to cover. Well, I take off my hat to him. I can't read J.M.D. page after page. I get lost before I've gone very far. I'm very heterodox in that respect, I find. Some people swear by J.M.D., and I don't. Well, anyway. Our brother has referred to that passage in 1 John 2, where it says, "You need not that any man teach you." Now, that doesn't mean that God hasn't given us teaching gifts. We know He has. These are one of the gifts. This is one of the gifts that is outlined in the Scriptures. The teacher himself, taught by the Holy Spirit, is enabled by that Holy Spirit to stand before the Lord's people and to teach them the things that He Himself has been taught in the sanctuary. But how are these things going to be helpful to you when the Spirit of God teaches you the same thing? When you hear a teacher speak, listen to what he says, but as you listen, ask the Holy Spirit Himself to teach you the spirit of the words which the man is uttering. And when you come to this scripture, remember that it's not like other books. There are books that we can understand by our human intellect, providing we have such a thing. But you can't understand the Word of God by your own human powers. And the only way to come to this scripture in order to understand what God has to say in it is to open the Word and sit at the feet of the Holy Spirit for Him to teach you consciously, remembering that it is not to be found in your intellectual power to understand the spiritual life that is in this Word. There are many people who have doctors, and some of them have multiple doctorates, and they can tell more about the Scriptures as far as the Word goes than perhaps any of us could. They know it through and through, and they can criticize it from end to end and tear it all to pieces and all this kind of thing, but they have never been taught by the Spirit of God, and they don't know the Word. And what you and I need to do as we come to this Word is to sit down with it, confess that we can't understand it, and ask the Spirit of God to give us illumination as we read. Some time ago, quite a while ago now, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, in one of his sermons, spoke of this operation of the Holy Spirit in giving His people the illumination in their minds which enabled them to understand the Scriptures. And he said something like this, and I hope that this echoes the experience that all of us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ have had as we have sat with this Word and read it. He said, sometimes, you know, you'll sit down and you'll read a passage of Scripture and you don't see very much in it. And then one day you'll read that same passage, and the whole of the passage begins to glow with light. And you see things in it you never saw before. He said, how do you account for that? Here's how you account for it. It is the Spirit of God making plain to you as you read the meaning of this word. You know, we very often quote that word in the Psalms, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. And that is very often equated with memorizing the scripture. Thy word have I hid in my head, that I might not sin against thee. Well, it's a very, very good thing to memorize the scripture, and nobody is going to make light of that practice. But when it speaks about hiding the word in the heart, remember that out of the heart are the issues of life. And it means that as you read that word, depending on the Spirit of God to teach you, and he will begin to teach you, and he will begin to show you things, as our brother said, things that I never realized before. You hide that word in your heart and you make it the motive force in the center of your life from which all the issues of life come. Subjecting yourself to what the Spirit of God teaches you as you read his word. And this is a promise that applies to us. He shall teach you all things. Now, one of the first things that he's going to teach us, as we've already been hearing, he's going to teach us what we are. You know, you and I would never realize the abject sinfulness of our natural state before God unless the Holy Spirit showed it to us. And one thing we must be prepared to face up to as we study this word and ask the Spirit of God to be our teacher, we must expect to be shown what miserable specimens of humanity we actually are. And we must be willing, as we've heard, to confess that that's exactly what we are. And when he shows us, as we read the word, that certain things that we never realized before were sin, are really sin in the sight of God, confess that he knows us better than we know ourselves, and confess that this vision of ourselves is a true one. I don't suppose you've got anybody like that here in Palos Hills. But anyway, I have known a lot of people who, when something wrong that they had done was pointed out to them, they'd move heaven and earth to try to prove that it wasn't really wrong after all. And everybody else knew that they were lying. And it's very easy for a fellow to lie about himself, you know, and pretend that he's better than the Spirit of God tells him he is. And the one who does that's never going to make any spiritual progress anyway. The first thing that you and I have to learn before we can get ahead in the spiritual life is to learn just what we are, not in our own opinion, but in the sight of God. And this is one of the things that the Spirit of God will teach us as we apply ourselves to the study of the Word and ask him to teach us. If we ask the Spirit of God to teach us, and this is the only way we're going to learn the power and the Spirit of the Word of God, we must be prepared to accept what he tells us at its face value. The Spirit of God always has to bring a fellow down before he can bring him up. One of our instructors at Moody Bible Institute so many years ago, Dr. Pace, been with the Lord now for a good many years, a very godly man, and one of the things that he used to say again and again, and I remember it to this day, he said, remember, the way up is down. That's the first thing we have to learn. The second thing, of course, that he will teach us as we read this word and try independence upon the teaching of the Holy Spirit to analyze and to understand understand, realizing that we can only analyze and understand as He illumines our understanding, and we go ahead with that realization, depending on His teaching. And the second thing that He will show us is the glory and the beauty of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is one of the things that we find in this discourse. We find it again and again. Look in verse 26 of chapter 15, a very familiar passage. But when the Comforter, chapter 15, verse 26, but when the Comforter, that is the Helper, as we have noticed, when the Comforter is come, who I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify, He shall witness about me. Now that's what the Holy Spirit does. Now you read His Word, the Word of God, the Word which the Holy Spirit Himself has inspired, and He will constantly be portraying before you the Lord Jesus Christ in all His beauty and in all His loveliness. Now, we were noticing as we were thinking yesterday of the ministry of the Holy Spirit that one thing He does in the heart of the believer is to inspire in the believer a love for the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, a love which will lead that one to do everything that the Lord Jesus asks him to do because he fears to displease him. Fears to displease him, not because he's afraid of him, but because he loves him and he wants to give him pleasure. Paul writes in one place, you know how you ought to walk and to please God. And the Spirit of God will tell us how we ought to walk and to please our Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God will witness to us about the loveliness of Christ so that we fall in love with Him. And then he goes on to say, and ye also bear witness. You see, our witness to the world is a reflection of the witness which the Spirit of God is bearing to us. It isn't that we go out and we quote a number of selected verses of Scripture to people who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. That's better than doing nothing, of course. But the real power of Christian witness is when the Spirit of God witnesses to us about the Lord Jesus Christ and we become so enthralled with His beauty that we say, man, I've got to tell somebody about this. That's witness. The echo of the witness of the Spirit of God to the soul, and you spill over in witness to others. That, by the way, is the only way to teach the Word of God. Spirit of God teaches you, and you find your heart so full of the wonderful things that He's revealing to you in the Word that you say, I've got to tell my brethren about this. I can't keep it to myself. That's what the Spirit of God wants to do, to teach us. Now notice again in chapter 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all the truth. For some reason, the King James Version has left out the article there. He shall guide you into all the truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall He speak. This, by the way, is another reason why people are often afraid to speak about the Holy Spirit, because they say, well, the Scripture says He shall not speak of Himself, so why should we speak of Him? But that isn't what it means. It means He shall not speak from Himself. He's not the originator of the message. One of the versions gives it, He shall not speak on His own initiative. And by the way, that's the same word that the Lord Jesus uses in chapter 14 when He says, the words I speak not of myself. Exactly the same expression. The Father that doeth in me, He doeth the work. In other words, the message that I give originates with the Father, and I'm just saying what He tells me to say. And here the Lord Jesus says, the word that the Spirit of God speaks is going to originate with the Father, and He's going to talk about me. He shall glorify me. Notice verse 14. He shall glorify me, For he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. And this is what the Holy Spirit does. He directs our attention to the Lord Jesus Christ, speaks of his glory. And notice how the Lord describes that glory in the following verse, verse 15. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore, I said, he shall take of mine and show it unto you. This is the way the Holy Spirit leads and teaches and guides his people. He shows the glory and the wonder of our God. And then he tells us that glory is the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is one way that we can always tell where the Spirit of God is working and where he is teaching. He directs attention of those who hear him to the Lord Jesus Christ and sees him seated at the right hand of God in the glory, servant of the Father, and yet partaker eternally with him of the same glory and the same dignity, so that we bow our hearts before him in humble adoration. He shall teach you. And then I'm very glad for the rest of that verse. And this, of course, is only one item on the menu. I ask you to read those three chapters, 14, 15, and 16. Read them again and again. Read them right straight through about 20 times. And then go over and read them carefully, verse by verse. And if the Spirit of God doesn't show you wonderful things about himself and about the Lord Jesus Christ, well, he will. There's no if about it. But I'm glad for the rest of that verse. He says, he shall bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. The Spirit of God teaches us in the secret place. We can go to Bible institutes. We can go to seminaries. We can go to colleges. And we can learn a lot of things about the Lord Jesus Christ. And they will give a good foundation on which the Spirit of God can build. But we must go into the secret place and listen to the teaching of the Holy Spirit as we consider these things, so that he illuminates our understanding. Otherwise, everything that we learn in an institute or in a seminary or in a college or whatever it may be is not going to be of ultimate help to us. But I'm glad, I say, for the rest of that verse, he shall bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. We've noticed in these talks that we have been having together, our brethren and I and you, or our brethren and you and I, to be grammatical, be good English, we have noticed that we are passing through times which are going to get worse and not going to get better. And we're facing temptations as believers. Even in ordinary circumstances, we face temptations. We face trials. And as we've already had it pointed out to us, each one of these temptations and each one of these trials is allowed for a certain purpose, for our training. And when we come into these difficult circumstances, and perhaps we wonder why. Isn't it lovely when the Holy Spirit says to us, remember what the Lord told you from such and such a passage of Scripture? He's the one who told us, of course. Remember what you were told from such and such a passage of Scripture when you were reading it on such and such a day. And he brings that promise. He brings that word to our remembrance. And our spirits are helped. They're lifted over the hard place, and we're enabled to go on our way rejoicing. This is one of the many ministries of the Spirit of God. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have spoken unto you. Well, may we say of the Spirit of God, as Paul says about the Lord Jesus Christ, thanks be unto God for his answer.